Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Well, I think that would come up appropriately next Tuesday. And that's when the vote would occur.
We all have to denounce any further meddling in our elections. Americans should decide American elections.
That's why we have to fight climate change with such urgency.
It's called Trump derangement syndrome. It really is.
Why does a Jeff Rorta exist?
We're not criticizing her because she's the first. We're criticizing her because she's the worst.
Here's the bottom line.
Here's the bottom line.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom of this.
We've got to get to the bottom of this.
The bottom line on the Mark Cox Show.
That's the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this.
That's the bottom line.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
So much to talk about this morning with my friend Keith Antone. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Mark, Trish, and Deanne. Good morning to all of you. I'm so glad. Deneen, I'm so glad that I could be here this morning with you on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Well, I am just so excited this morning.
Well, you know,
always
I guess you were
to talk to you.
You were afraid to come in, I guess, because we thought we were going to have you in studio, but you chickened out on me.
Well, no. I am never afraid to come into enemy territory. Trust and believe me.
You and Kim Gardner. You know, I would talk about national politics with you, but I got to get your take on Kim Gardner claiming that it's not her incompetence that's causing people to criticize her, but rather her race. Do you buy that argument, Keith Antone?
Well, let me say this, you know, and when I was growing up in the great state of Ohio, my father used to always say, Keith, can everybody be wrong? My point here, Mark, is that the local media, in my opinion, on this particular situation has not given her a fair crack at it, right? So she had about six or seven other African-American female prosecutors come from around the country who all shared very, 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 very similar stories. She's been on ABC tonight. She's been on CBS this morning. She's been in all just about every major newspaper. This has not just been a local story. So if I'm just listening to the St. Louis media and the Post disgrace, I would believe 100% of what you're saying, that this is all because of her incompetence. But I'm saying that this is getting looked at from a larger lens. This is getting a traction from around the country. And so all I'm going to say is that until all the facts are out, I'm going to have to say that I have to believe that it's just not she's doing such a terrible job. And as I've said on this show about Donald Trump, although he's impeached and there's nothing he can do whether they send the articles of impeachment over or not.
Here we go.
He's an impeached president. I still would like to see him get his butt whipped at the ballot box. And just as the Republicans have been saying that he's duly elected, she has been duly elected.
So,
and if he's going to be removed from office, it should be at the ballot box and not with the
Saint Louis Police Association. Here's where I need to stop you.
Okay.
Kim Gardner rolled a bunch of people into town yesterday, and the Post-Dispatch was completely on her side because they glowingly identified all of these prosecutors who came to town as the prosecutor of Contra Costa County, California. I've never heard of that. Of Prince George's County, Maryland, Prince George's County, never heard of that. Suffolk County, Massachusetts, never heard of that. You know what I have heard of? I've heard of Oakland, California, and Portsmouth, Virginia, and Baltimore, Maryland, and Boston, Massachusetts, where their crime rates are just as high or higher than the ones in St. Louis. The point is the criminal justice reform approach can't be just ignoring laws that you don't like. Kim Gardner does it, and all of the women who showed up yesterday to support her have the same problems in their community. Their crime rate is going through the roof because they've decided that they're going to satisfy their constituents by not prosecuting criminals, and it's law-abiding citizens who are suffering in that approach. This isn't reform. I'm all for reform. Find me a problem and tell me how to fix it. The answer, Keith Antone, is by changing the law if you don't like the law and you think it targets somebody inappropriately. The answer is not ignoring criminal activity and refusing to prosecute. That's what Kim Gardner's doing.
Mark Cox, you are one of the most brilliant men I've ever met.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
I respect you, but you are 1,000% wrong and going barking up the wrong tree. If you're telling me that a prosecutor, who we have in the prosecutor's office is the reason why we have the crime and the shootings in St. Louis and the crime, That's the reason? That's the root of the problem?
The root of the problem is, Keith, we're not locking up criminals. Let me read you a quote here.
All right.
According to one of these criminal justice reformers, right, she got into office and decided to ignore low-level crimes. But when they went back and looked at these 15 offenses that she would no longer prosecute, they found out that they weren't low level at all. They were serious bodily injury. They were major theft cases. They were career criminals. That's Rachel Rollins, who happens to be the prosecutor from Boston who came in to support Kim Gardner. That's my point. She's not the reason people are going out and murdering people, but criminals are emboldened when they know they can get away with it because the prosecutor doesn't get along with the police and she's not going to prosecute cases. That's the problem.
Well, now we're mixing up apples and oranges here, Mr. Cox. We can talk about just Kim Gardner and her office and crime, or now you're saying that the police are, we're talking about some strained relationships. If you're talking about a community of almost 60% African American, and you're talking about in the criminal justice system, about 80% of the people going through that system are African American. And then when you start talking about the relationship of the police and in this community and in several communities across the country, we would be here until next Wednesday on Bottom Line. Let's just talk to really. One of the things that I wanted to bring up in a discussion that I was talking with somebody, people who are guilty usually shy away from a federal lawsuit. They don't go and they file these lawsuits. And all I'm saying is that here in St. Louis, we've got on our narrow vision, we're seeing it one way. And if you said that the Post-Dispatch wrote something, favorable about Kim Gardner, it's the first time in probably since she's been in office.
Read it. It's in today's Post-Dispatch with the story on prosecutors who came in her support.
And they probably are following the lead of the national media and all of the other respected newspapers.
Also taking her at her word at face value. And they, if they just looked into it, they'd realize what a disaster her approach has been.
But Mark, hey, buddy, listen, haven't I been consistent on saying that I didn't want to see Donald Trump impeached? I want to see him beat at the ballot box. I've been consistent on saying that on your show, right?
What's that got to do with Kim Gardner?
I want her to get the same treatment. If she's going to be removed from office, you got Jeff Reuter talking about he wants to see her forcibly removed from office. I'm saying that we, the citizens of St. Louis who live in the city of St. Louis, we voted her in. And if she's going to be removed from office, all I'm saying is if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's good for Trump, it's good for Gardner.
All right, Keith, I'm going to give you the last word on that. Can you hold on through the break?
I will do anything
for you, my friend. You hang on here, my friend, and we're going to get to Keith Antone here in just a minute. I want to ask you more about the snoozer of a debate last night, if he watched it, by his fellow Democrats. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It isn't so much about experience, it's about judgment.
Our plan wouldn't bankrupt the country. In fact, it would improve.
And there will be no trade agreement until we invest more in American workers.
It makes no sense for child care to cost two-thirds of somebody's income.
Universal child care for everyone. It just has some people adding a small payment.
I would declare a state of emergency on day one on climate.
Keith Antone, I feel poorer just listening to that. Did you watch that debate last night?
I did, and it kind of reminded me of the audience at a Toby Keith concert outside in January in North Dakota.
Painful to watch?
Huh?
Was it just painful to watch?
Well, you know, I'm not seeing anybody that's jumping out there. Now, unlike, you know, Stacey on the Cliff, if Jesus, the Pope, and Mother Teresa were on stage last night, her and some of the deranged Trump fans would say that there's nobody even come close to being a decent candidate. I'm starting to look, Mark, and I want you to hear me now and think about it later. I'm starting to look at this Bloomberg fella. I mean, I'm learning more and more about him and reading more about him. I seen him on the interview last night on the Tonight Show. And, you know, I almost have to agree with you. It was a snooze.
Underwhelming. Wasn't it underwhelming? I thought so. Thing about Bloomberg, because, you know, it's funny, Genevieve Wood said to me earlier, they need to not underestimate Michael Bloomberg. You know, he used to be a Republican. You know that, right?
I know that, and he ran the largest city in this country for 12 years, and you know,
he endorsed stop and frisk, which a lot of people don't agree with when it comes to fighting crime.
Well, and then he backpedaled on it. I mean, later he apologized a week before he announced that he was running for president. But I'm saying that there's a lot of things that have happened, and we've got a history in this country, and people have done things. And I think once you've apologized and you said, hey, listen, I made a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was a bad, bad policy. But, you know, the crime did go, I think, before he stopped and frisked, I think the numbers were up about 650, the murders in New York City, and it cut in half with the stop and frisk. So, you know, there's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep on Bloomberg. I am not. I'm watching this guy, and boy, oh, boy, you know, I hate to admit it that I'm almost agreeing with you on the last.
Wow, how about that?
No.
Here's what I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see 6'4" Donald Trump on a stage debating 5'4" Michael Bloomberg. That's good. This is what we're gonna hear. We're gonna hear. Hold on. That's my fault. Here we go.
Back up, you creep! Get away from me.
It's gonna be like having Hillary Clinton up there. Honestly, you know, this guy's running. I mean, he's a billionaire. I thought the Democrats hated billionaires. They hate rich people.
I don't think the Democrats hate rich people. Mark, that's not fair.
Well, they hate Donald Trump.
That's not true. That's not true. But I am taking a second look at this guy and a big, long, long look at him. And I'm starting to learn a lot more about him. Just nobody last night during that debate jumped out at me last night. But I can tell you this, and I want you to hear me now. Although nobody last night jumped out at me, the worst Democrat on that stage last night is going to be better than Donald Trump will ever be.
You got to be kidding me, man. Keith, how's the 401k doing? I mean, look at the economy. Look at trade. I mean, everything you can mention is going swimmingly right now. And even Tom Steyer said last night, if some of the people on this stage get elected, the economy is going in the tank because they're going to raise taxes and they're going to increase regulations and businesses are going to quit hiring and we're going to go into a recession.
That Tom Steyer, that guy reminds me of the Maytag appliance salesman. Listen, he looked so well rehearsed last night. It was kind of almost funny, some of the stuff that went on. But I think Elizabeth, if you had to pick who won the night, it had to be Elizabeth Warren when she said, hey, listen, there's only two people on this stage that have never lost an election, and combined the men had lost like 10 elections. I thought that was the line of the evening.
Her and Amy.
I do believe, Yeah. I do believe that any of them, though, really seriously, I think any of them on that stage last night, and including Mike, will be better than what we got last night.
While they were watching the debate,
you know, Donald Trump was in a rally, you know, held a rally somewhere, I think Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
And he was babbling on about, you know, washing machines or light bulbs. Light bulbs. And I mean, he was just unhinged. And so I think that the impeachment, the noose around his neck is starting to tighten. And we'll see when Nancy delivers those articles this morning.
we're going to see indeed. Keith Antone, thanks for your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
All right, sir. We'll let him go there. Oh, he has a right to be wrong. And I'd love to get him on here and point that out to him. Because, you know, it is what it is.
No, I don't have a problem. Because I think there's somewhere, somehow, he's done something wrong.
Yep, that's it. That's why you can't vote for Donald Trump.
The Iowa caucus is on February 3rd. Bernie Sanders is in first place. And what this does is this benefits Joe Biden. This harms Senator Sanders, who is in first place and could become their nominee, because he will be stuck in a chair because Nancy Pelosi held the papers different than what she said to the American public why she had to move so urgently.
I told you so. Kevin McCarthy there pointing out the damage Pelosi is trying to inflict on Sanders and Warren. And when the left gets wind of that and finally realizes what this is going to mean, they're not going to be happy with their sweetheart from the West Coast. Let's put it that way. Hey, let me get to a couple phone calls. Folks holding on here. Carolyn, welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. This is going to be one heck of a shit show today. When they walk this little thing up to the Senate, and Charlie Schumer's already crying it's unfair. I can hardly believe that they had the audacity to say that.
Yeah, you mean the fact that the trial is not going to be fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. After what they pulled off in the House, yeah, I would agree with you completely. And here's what Ted Cruz is already promising. That it'll kind of be tit for tat, right? If you force us to bring witnesses, for everyone you bring, we're bringing one, like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Adam Schiff and a whole bunch of people that you don't want on the stand under oath.
But, you know, let's stop a minute here just with that. What has happened to our court system? Because it used to be if you were subpoenaed for court, it was a big deal. These people laugh at it anymore. It's a joke. We have, you know, many things that are ordering the papers, the transcripts of different FISA documents and so forth. And Clinton's emails was another one. And they just laugh and they don't produce it. So I don't give anything to our court system anymore. I think it's a joke.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been a joke. And is it a bull crap on who can intimidate who the worst? And if you suppress their intimidation, you lose. Otherwise, just one with your daily life.
No, I agree. People have learned how to manipulate that system and avoid having to deal with it. Carolyn, thank you for the call.
Hey, you're welcome. You have a super day.
It's going great already. Every time I have Keith Antone on, I get encouraged about what's going to happen this fall. Because I know there are a lot of people like Keith. You picked up on that, didn't you? I mean, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's going to vote for somebody with a D after their name, but he's so disenchanted with the ones he saw on the stage last night, he might vote for Michael Bloomberg, who used to be a Republican, who he knows very little about, but that he's hoping maybe that's the guy that could beat Donald Trump. I think this is going to be potentially a bigger landslide than even I thought. Maybe a bigger landslide than Ronald Reagan enjoyed over Walter Mondale back in the day.
I think so.
What do you think, Keith, Kevin? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Keith Antone, he talked about anybody on that stage last night would be better than Trump. I love how liberals throw around general terms like that's better. How is he going to be better? He just, you know, you talked about, you know, taxes, Trump reduced, negotiations with China. I mean, the economy in general. It's sad that somebody intelligent like Keith
can't really sit down and talk about facts. It's just sad. And lastly, I love your show. I'm so glad to hear you guys every day in the morning. And even though you probably have fewer liberal listeners than conservative listeners, at least you provide us with the facts, the ammo to use at the water cooler in the office.
Kevin, I appreciate the kind words there. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to get the opportunity to be in this chair every day and to get to bring these things to light, particularly like this Kim Gardner story. Just drove me crazy to watch the network news coverage of this story last night, where they took every word she said hook, line, and sinker and never bothered to call somebody who lived in St. Louis who probably has a very different opinion of how Kim Gardner's handled things. And people that live around the country who only read the New York Times or only watch CBS News, they think we're a racist bunch of backwoods Hoosiers trying to run a black woman out of the prosecutor's office in the city of St. Louis. Honestly, like, you have that power even if you wanted to. It's insane. Harry, good morning to you. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was listening to your interview with Keith, and, you know, why is it that every time we get incompetence into the situation, we always go and use a race card? Davis was recalled out in California because he was incompetent. He couldn't do his job. Regardless if she was elected and he was elected in office, if you can't do your job, then you have to serve the consequences. So if there's any race problem here, I mean, when Kim Gardner disallowed, 32 police officers, their input on crime because she didn't feel they did it right, she had a preset notion not to enforce the law. So just because you were elected doesn't mean that you can fulfill your promises and you are credible. So I just have that one statement, and I really appreciate your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, Harry. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. So here's the thing. This morning I went through the laundry list of things the Post-Dispatch and the mainstream media didn't tell you yesterday in their coverage of this story. The New York Times headline was, African-American prosecutors from around the country come out to support the embattled St. Louis circuit attorney. They've rushed to her defense because she's being wrongly accused. And then they go on to mention the counties that these people serve in, but they intentionally don't mention the cities. Why not? Why would you cover that without pointing out the problems that everybody who showed up to support Kim Gardner has in their own backyard for the very same reasons that Kim Gardner is an ineffective prosecutor? They all rolled into office on the same platform, the George Soros-supported platform of so-called criminal justice reform. Throw that politically correct term out the door. All criminal justice reform means is that we think there's an unnatural number of people who've been jailed of a certain color or a certain ethnicity, and we're going to correct that. The laws be damned. That's the attitude of criminal justice reform. You know, if you're either a criminal or you're not, what does the color of your skin have to do with it? This has nothing to do with the fact that you can argue that through the years the criminal justice system in this case or that case might have been unfair to somebody of color. These are people who are committing carjackings and break-ins and robberies and rapes and murders. And this prosecutor is not prosecuting them simply because of the color of their skin. What's that got to do with racism trying to force her out of office? The law-abiding citizens that live in this city deserve to have a prosecutor who's going to support her police department and who's going to prosecute criminals according to the laws on the books. Every single one of these ladies that came to support her yesterday, they embrace the same approach to criminal justice. They've all redlined about 15 or 20 crimes that they're simply not going to prosecute anymore, right? So call next time you're in the city, you come down here for an event, you get your car broken into, and you call the police to file a police report, phone my show the next day and tell me what happened when you made that phone call, right? Nothing. They don't care about cases like that because of the people who are probably involved in breaking into the car in the first place. But I've heard horror stories from our St. Louis Police Department, people I'm friends with, about rock solid cases of drugs and drug possession and all of this walked over in person to the St. Louis City Attorney's Office. And they're just told to go away. They're not going to prosecute that because people have to make a living. That's the approach of criminal justice reform. And Aisha Brave Boy and Diana Becton and Stephanie Morales and Marilyn Mosby and Rachel Rollins and all of the troop that rolled into town yesterday for the press release are all doing the same things. And they have the highest crime rates in America in each of those cities. They've gone up since they've taken office, because the criminals have nothing to fear. They don't have to worry about going to jail in most cases, depending on the crime, when these folks are in office. That is a travesty of justice. And tomorrow morning on this show, Jeff Rorta is going to join us from the St. Louis Police Officers Association. You know, this is the one that we had to listen to Kim Gardner get on TV yesterday and question why Jeff Rorta is even allowed to exist. Go to cut 49, please.
In that lawsuit that has been publicly filed, have shown instances like a Jeff Rorta who continues to go unchecked to spot off racial divisive rhetoric that divides a community that is hurting, that is suffering from violent crime. Why does a Jeff Rorta exist? I ask you, why is his handlers willing not to silence him?
Why would they silence him? Jeff Rorta had the best shutdown line of all time yesterday. We'll play it, and then we're going to go to a break, and we'll get back here in just a minute. Play 52, please.
We're not criticizing her because she's the first. We're criticizing her because she's the worst.
I want to say again what I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt.
Amen. There's former Governor Eric Greitens as he was getting ready to leave office over this whole, the investigation into the city of St. Louis by Kim Gardner. All charges end up dropped. All of the allegations suddenly went away as soon as he resigned. There were a lot of people out to get him, including a lot of people in his own party. And there's a big piece in Real Clear Politics this morning. I've linked to it up on my website. The Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook, 971talk.com/Cox. Go read it. The author of that article makes some fantastic points on why you can't rule out the fact that given what's going on, Eric Greitens would be right in trying to make a political comeback. Steve Hantler is the author of this, and he makes a lot of great points in this article. And here's maybe the best one. That when this whole thing happened with Eric Greitens, people weren't really ruled. They this is pre-Kavanaugh. I don't think a lot of people really realized how nasty politics could go when you're an outsider fighting against the political establishment. As long as you're willing to go along to get along, the other party's usually willing to go easy on you. Not in Donald Trump's case, not in Eric Greitens' case. So go read this article. Is he going to jump in again? I don't know. But certainly a lot of the allegations against him have been dropped and cleared. I don't know. I have not talked to the governor in a long time. I don't know what his intentions are. I'd love to get him on the show and let him explain this. But I think that he certainly would be justified in his belief that he won 110 of the 114 counties in Missouri the last time he ran. I wouldn't be surprised if he couldn't have that kind of success once again. I just have to tell you. Let me get to Lynn here on line two. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to make it short. I have the Eric Greitens thing. That would be an interesting thing to explore. But I just wanted to say about the Kim Gardner situation, two questions. One, did any of the reporting about those who came in from out of town to support Kim Gardner mention that it was about four or five? Out of all the attorney generals in the entire country, she could only rake up four or five. That's sad. And two, how did they get here? Did they pay their own way, or did they get here on the dime of the taxpayer?
Yeah, I heard the answer to that one yesterday. Her office issued a statement, Lynn, saying that no public money was used to fly them in, which means one of her big political supporters or someone footed their bill to come here.
Hmm. Or maybe she was just referring to St. Louis money.
St. Louis taxpayers. Maybe their own municipalities paid to fly them in. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Lynn,
they spend our money the way they want to.
Very true. Lynn, thank you for the call.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I appreciate that. Yeah, the people she flew in were like-minded prosecutors who ran on the George Soros criminal justice reform platform and were funded by him. Maybe George paid for it. I don't know. I don't know what all he's up to these days. Hey, our thanks to the folks over at the Fabulous Fox. They sent us a great cake this morning because the Donna Summer Show opens tonight.
Yes, right? From MacArthur's Bakery.
Yeah, so they sent it from MacArthur's Bakery, and it's got the title MacArthur's Park on it, which is a Donna Summer song. And the musical is coming. It opens tonight, and it runs for a week or so. Still tickets available, so you should go to the Fox website if you're interested in seeing it. It's unfortunately not, I don't have any disco on my playlist here, so
well,
I can't
you should.
Play any Donna Summer for you. But I do want to thank the folks over there for sending a cake to remind us that that's tonight.
Absolutely.
We were going to go to the media preview and had to cancel at the last minute because of a conflict, but should be a good show.
Always do a great job at the Fox Theater.
My wife was really, really looking forward to that. She really was.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.